You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. And since it's the weekend, we asked some friends to join us. So let's have brunch. We are out having brunch in New York at the Pullman Kitchen on 2nd Avenue. And I've got Ben Walsh from The Huffington Post and Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine. Welcome to you both. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
Hello. Jess, you've got some Halloween decorations there next to you.
Ah!
Yeah.
A bloody hand print.
Ooh, there.
That's sticky.
Yeah. One thing that's happening in the equity markets that's really interesting to me, which is these big companies, really standard American companies that make up the Dow, things like Coke and IBM, they're not doing well. They've had kind of a rough season. What's going on?
Really big companies are very hard to steer quickly and nimbly, and these are big companies that make a very specific product, and they can't really change what they do very quickly. And so, for instance, Coke, they spend billions of dollars a year to market caffeinated sugar water that they then sell at super high margins. That business...
That's a very cynical view of what they make, caffeinated sugar water.
That is a totally neutral description of what they make. The market for that rises and falls, and for a long time it's been rising. But if you look at a competitor of theirs, Pepsi, everyone likes Coke more than Pepsi, but Pepsi as a business is better because they diversified into snack food.
I mean, I'm interested in these giant companies. We're thinking also Walmart, GE. You know, investors have kind of been kind of like, on them. I'm wondering what that says about us as American consumers, what we buy and what we don't buy, or if we're really fickle right now or still scarred.
I wonder if investors are just kind of catching on to what Ben was saying, which is that they've been hearing this line that companies that are big aren't nimble and they can't move quickly. And maybe so they're looking at these big companies and thinking that that might be a reason to rate them lower.
They're like battleships, I guess. They don't
turn
easily.
Battleships.
They are absolutely
like battleships. Cruise ships.
And they're battleships that are kind of pointed in the same general direction as the American consumer. And we've seen some bad data recently about Americans' ability to keep spending as much as they have been spending or increase their spending.
It's impossible to imagine a world without Coke. Coke will prevail.
Of course.
Yeah. Somehow, though.
It's very good,
right?
They were doing
with Diet Coke, Coke Zero, because people are drinking fewer amounts of caffeinated sugar water.
They've clued into it being unhealthy and also maybe a little bit disgusting.
Yeah, no, they're actually
honest.
Drinking more caffeinated sugar water.
If you think about it,
water.
What does Coke even taste like?
Summer?
America?
Yeah. I want to contrast these big companies with, Jessica, something you've been writing about, the sharing economy. You wrote this amazing story about Airbnb. What Airbnb is trying to do in big cities around the country, they've been running into a lot of resistance. What's happening?
Airbnb is, you know, kind of great. I don't know if you guys have used it. You can rent other people's apartments, like it's a hotel room. It's having some problems in cities like specifically in New York and San Francisco, where the real estate is really limited. They're kind of like islands. There's not very much affordable housing. Both cities have seen a huge influx of wealth. And so there's a lot of concerns that, you know, landlords will convert entire apartment buildings into Airbnbs, or that people will decide, you know, even brownstone owners will decide that their garden apartment is better if they can do it for $200 a night instead of $2,000 a month. And so it's kind of taking away affordable housing in some ways. And I don't think it's a thing that Airbnb thought of when they started the company.
I was really interested in your story. There's a moment when you're talking to one of the founders, I think, and he shows you a personal email from someone who said, you know, during the recession, Airbnb saved us because we were able to rent out our place and make some money when we were losing our jobs.
Sure. That's what's really interesting about it. It's sort of like really good for people who are in like tight financial situations and really bad for them at the same time. In cities like New York and San Francisco, there's also like a safety issue. Like you're in these giant apartment buildings and, you know, you don't know who's renting the apartment next to you.
I wonder whether a lot of the technology that we've seen that enables things like Uber, like Airbnb, different ride-sharing apps, does this create even more of a two-track society? Does this create more inequality?
That's a really interesting question. I think it probably, in the long run, does. Because these jobs, these TaskRabbit jobs, these Lyft jobs, they don't provide any job security at all. They're really meant to be temporary positions.
I want to go overseas to one of my favorite weird stories of the week, which I think also tells us something about global economics, maybe, which is Kenny G's presence at the protests in Hong Kong. Kenny G somehow becoming, through his music, a symbol of
jazz.
Equivocation.
Yeah, I guess equivocation. So he goes over there, he says, I'm going to stand up with you protesters, does his thing, and then
sits down.
Yeah.
He goes to Hong Kong, goes and visits the protesters, and then the Chinese government reminds him that he has lots of fans in mainland China.
Which, by the way, it's like a 20-hour flight over there, and he might have thought of that on the way. I just don't know how that didn't occur to him.
I can't vouch for...
And so then he backed down. He was like, I'm sorry. Is that what happened?
He said, "I other people are using me as a symbol of the protesters. What? That was not my intention. I was simply walking around Hong Kong.
I just thought that you could get some groove on.
Basically fully retracted and went in line with Chinese state media. Very bizarre.
Am I drawing am I creating too much of an allegory here if I'm starting to see this as, you know, thinking about how you sell yourself internationally, right? When people want to tap into growth markets, they basically want to tap into China and India. And I think if you are thinking about how to do that, if you're an American brand or European brand, suddenly you're like, how do I play by all the rules?
Totally.
It's very weird because to be a global brand, you have to be apolitical, essentially. But then to be an apolitical global brand, that means being okay with Chinese government policies, which are political by their nature. And so it's a weird dance that you have to do.
And we've seen Mark Zuckerberg do this dance in China.
Yes.
That's right.
I would pay money to see Mark Zuckerberg dancing at a Kenny G concert.
In a hoodie? I guess in a hoodie.
I don't think it ever comes off. I think he showers with it.
I don't know if you really dance to Kenny G. I think you just sort of sway romantically.
Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine, Ben Walsh from The Huffington Post. Thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.